Today, as somewhat expected, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that former President Donald Trump should remain on the ballot in Colorado. It's a decision that reverses the Colorado Supreme Court, which ruled last December that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment disqualified Trump from running because it banned anyone from holding office who'd pledged to support the Constitution and had instead engaged in insurrection against the United States. The decision affects not just Colorado, but Illinois and Maine, which had also removed Trump from their ballots based on Section 3. It is a victory for Donald Trump, and it's just ahead of tomorrow's Super Tuesday primary elections. Dahlia Lithwick writes about law and the courts for Slate. She's hosted the Amicus podcast. Dahlia, most analysts, I think it's safe to say, did expect this ruling. There were two things the court could have delved into, whether or not Donald Trump is an insurrectionist, and then the legal question of whether he could be legally barred from the ballot by Section 3. They seem to just take up that second one. Explain for us.
Yeah, this is, in some sense, Robin, a pretty technical decision. They didn't get to the question at all, which was before them and had been decided by the Colorado courts. Did Donald Trump involve himself in an insurrection on January 6th? That was not the issue they touched. What they did was go very, very deep on this question of how Section 3 of the 14th Amendment works. And there's quite a split, by the way, even though it's a unanimous opinion, there's quite a split between the justices on how Section 3 operates. But you're exactly right. This is a kind of pretty technical decision on if were one to disqualify somebody from the ballot, how would one go about doing that? The court decides today Congress has to do that, not the states.
Well, that is the answer to a question a lot of you might have, because many people have been saying, if this wasn't insurrection, what we saw on January 6th, what is? But you're saying the court took up the legal question of who gets to decide who's on the ballot.
That's right. And in some sense, that's a really, really important framing, because the court doesn't touch the question of is Donald Trump in fact on the hook for an insurrection. And as I said, that was determined in the courts below. So that actually doesn't get decided today. And that matters. The court had the opportunity to answer it. What they really wanted to do, I think, is answer the question once and for all, and that they did, whether states can take it upon themselves to knock him off the ballot. And this is a very clear ruling, not just that states cannot do that, but the court goes one further. This is what makes some of the concurrences very, very angry. Yes. Goes further and says, here's how Congress would have to do it going forward. And what we see in the concurrences, particularly by the three liberal justices, is that they see this as massive overreach by the court, because, as they say, this is going to insulate all alleged insurrectionists from future challenges, and they didn't need to go that far.
Okay, so the three liberal justices, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, were joined by the conservative Amy Coney Barrett, saying they wish the decision, could have been narrower. And as you're saying, the court said, no, it's Congress that has to decide this. And you know, Amy Coney Barrett also wrote separately that the court has settled a politically charged issue in the volatile season of a presidential election, particularly in this circumstance. Writings on the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. There are a lot of people who I'm assuming are not going to be happy with this, as you just indicated.
Yeah, Justice Barrett actually writes separately from the three liberals who, as we've both now said, are pretty furious, palpably furious that the court closed a whole bunch of doors that they didn't need to close today. Justice Barrett, in some sense, just writes alone to say, we're not mad. Like, mommy and daddy are not fighting. Everything's fine. Which is, it reads a little funny when you kind of put it in between the sort of sweeping judgment of the per curiam unanimous opinion and the very, very bitter feelings from the three liberals that this was massive, capacious overreach. I think that you're right. There's a thread, and you really see it both in Barrett's concurrence, and you see it very, very much even in the majority opinion of, we are the Supreme Court. We are all united. There's a line in the majority, in the sort of per curiam unanimous opinion, that says, quote, all all 9 members of the court agree with the result. So I think what you're seeing is the court's attempt to forestall in a whole bunch of different ways public fury and anger, and to tell us, we are the court, we have spoken, nothing further to be done here.
And to be clear, Dahlia Lithwick, in case somebody just tuned in, what the court has decided is that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which bars anybody from running for office if, in fact, they've committed insurrection against the United States while pledging allegiance to the Constitution, that can only be decided who that is who can be barred by Congress.
Right. And it's actually even more specific in some sense, because it goes further and says how Congress would have to do that. It's pretty improbable to think that could ever happen, and certainly that that could happen in the near term. And that, I think, is the part of this that is probably going to be frustrating to folks who thought maybe there's another avenue to take. This is pretty clear what Congress would have to do and what that would look like. That would be totally novel stuff, not on the table.
And frustrating to some justices. Dahlia Lithwick covers law in the courts for Slate, host of the Amicus podcast. Dahlia, thanks as always.